Welcome back to HealthLink on Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. I'm your host, Linda Cohen. Approximately 1 in 18 Americans, or 4.4 million people in the U.S., suffer from heart arrhythmias, or irregular heartbeats. And while some of these can be benign, others can be life-threatening and can result in stroke, heart failure, and even sudden death if left untreated. Well, Upstate's state-of-the-art Heart and Vascular Center features a variety of cardiovascular services, and among them is the revolutionary new Stereotaxis Magnetic Navigation System, which assists in the diagnosis and treatment of both common and complex cardiac arrhythmias. Well, joining us this morning to help us understand this revolutionary device is Dr. Luna Bhatta, an assistant professor of medicine and the director of the Heart Rhythm Center and the Clinical Electrophysiology Lab at Upstate Medical University. Dr. Bhatta specializes in cardiology and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. Also joining us is Amy Tetrault, nurse manager of the Interventional Cardiology Lab at Upstate. Welcome, Dr. Bhatta and Amy. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Let's begin, Dr. Bhatta, by defining what are cardiac arrhythmias or irregular heartbeats. Can you help us understand that?
Yes. Cardiac arrhythmia are basically the abnormality of the electrical circuit of patient's heart. Patient may ask, how do I know if I have it or not? The way they present is palpitation, dizziness. Sometimes they can pass out from arrhythmia. Arrhythmia can happen from a newborn till all the way 90-year-old patient. There are different varieties. Some, like you suggested, can be just nuisance and affect the quality of the life of the patient. Sometimes it can be potentially lethal.
So the point is, somehow the heart gets into an irregular beat, whereas normally we don't think about the heartbeat. It gets into an irregular beat, and some of those can be very dangerous.
Exactly. You said it right.
And it can happen to any age range. Okay. And so how do we know? How does someone know? You said some people know they feel something in their chest as being a palpitation. How do they know this is something to worry about or not?
First, they have to see their doctor, and the doctor, based on their workup, may include an electrocardiogram, or sometimes you have to catch it wearing a monitor for a certain amount of time, ranging from 24 hours to several weeks. They can walk around with the monitor. And then once it's caught, they will be referred to cardiologist or directly to us, like clinical cardiac electrophysiologist. And we will sit down, look at the EKG and the information we have, and sometimes we have to make a decision whether to take them to the cardiac electrophysiology lab, which is the procedure room, and introduce the catheter using their big vein, and from inside the heart get the information, and then we can disable the circuit if we can identify it.
So the basic point here is that your first, somebody has an irregular heartbeat, right, Amy? I mean, that, and many of us, I know I have sometimes palpitations, and I have often asked my doctor, should I worry about that? And they say that's, you know, very common and not to worry. But there are some patients that you see that you do have to worry.
Yeah, I think that the bottom line in those cases is for someone, you know, your own body, and to trust your instinct. And like Dr. Bhatta is saying, that there's different symptoms. It could range from palpitations, a fluttering in the heart. It could range to something more serious that causes you to pass out. But you do know your own body, and you do need to go to your doctor if you feel you may have this problem.
Can you also get chest pain as a symptom?
Sometimes patients present with chest pain. They may not realize their heart is beating fast, but I have several patients actually presented with chest pain, and we found out it was from the arrhythmia.
So clearly, if you have something like this happening, it's important to check with your doctor, and then, as you said, get some of those other diagnostic tests, like an EKG, and then perhaps a long-term
monitor
that tells you whether it happens on a regular basis or throughout the day or what have you. So it's important for the diagnosis, but how were you treating these things before? In other words, what were we doing to help patients so they didn't suffer some, you know, life-threatening arrhythmia?
Sometimes for the benign one, we just reassure them and offer them medication. But for the life-threatening one, we have to bring them to the electrophysiology lab, and then using electricity disable the circuit. We first have to identify what is causing the arrhythmia and then disable it. And some of them can be cured. Some of them can be manage it, and some patient may end up requiring having to implant the implantable defibrillator to make sure they don't have it, if they have it, to get them out quickly.
So basically, it's an electrical malfunction of
exactly,
the heart.
Exactly, that's what it
and
is.
And you're looking for, you basically have to find where in the heart it exists.
Exactly.
And then when you say disable, how does that happen? How do you disable it?
We use what we call radio frequency energy. It's kind of a pulse wave heat energy. And in the common term, we call them burn, but I try not to use that term because sometimes it can relay different message to patient.
Yeah, so they get worried that you're
they
burning
get worried.
Their heart.
One patient literally thought that we set the heart on fire. So
oh,
from
dear.
Then on, I
yeah.
said we
I could see why that would make people very anxious.
Right. So I said we disable the circuit. All the patient's going to feel is a little bit of heartburn or heat in their chest. And it's we don't go above 60 Celsius. Seldom we do. And then we the circuit will be disabled, and we'll find out right there and then.
So basically, you have a faulty circuit, and then by going in and finding where that exists and applying heat to it, you basically make it stop happening. Is
right.
that the idea? And then the heart reverts back to its normal function? Is
right,
that the idea?
And I just forgot to mention, actually, we also have not only heat energy, we have freezing energy now. We can disable it either by using heat or freezing energy, depending, you know, where the circuit is and how close to the normal electricity of the heart, if we try to avoid any damage.
Well, so the term there is called ablation, is that correct?
Exactly. It's called ablation. It can either be done with heat energy or freezing energy.
Okay, so in the past, you were, in terms of the traditional ways of finding where in the heart this malfunction was taking place, what were you doing before this brand new machine came on board? Which, by the way, we only have one in Central New York here at Upstate, right?
Yes, yes.
So what were you doing before?
We basically have to put multiple catheter with our hand handling the tip of the catheter in the heart. So, and with the catheter that's sending out information, we figure out where the circuit is. So you have to move multiple catheter. And if the patient has a little different anatomy, like tortuous artery or vein.
Like that their veins kind of are curved like a winding road.
Right. And that would make it very hard to control the tip of the catheter with the shaft that's exposed to patients outside the body where the tip is inside the heart. But this technique would allow us, using computer and magnet together, to control the tip directly. And the tip is very soft. And it also avoids complication that can happen when you try to manipulate the catheter with shaft.
So let me just see if I understand. So before, you were using kind of a rigid, some kind of a catheter that you would put through the artery?
Artery or vein.
Artery or vein. Go ahead.
Depending which part of the heart you want to get into.
Okay, and there you were trying to kind of like figure out where in the heart by the information being sent back through the catheter.
Mm-hmm.
Where this malfunction was taking place. Is that correct, Amy?
That is.
Yeah. And so then, but in doing so, you had to do that by hand, and you had the risk of perhaps injuring, because it was rigid,
right.
injuring parts of the heart or even of the artery or vein you were going through.
Exactly.
So how is the Stereotaxis magnetic system mm-hmm. different? You mentioned it was more flexible, the catheter is more flexible.
Mm-hmm. There were three
understand.
Or four advantage of this system. The first of the advantage is that it's safe. It's cut down about 28% of the risk of cardiac perforation.
Oh, so you're not going to be puncturing
anything. Puncturing or poking the heart. The second one is if you have a hard time getting the catheter to the appropriate position of the heart, conventionally we use fluoroscopy. So patients and physicians themselves at risk of radiation. And this technology helps us to cut down the radiation by 30 up to 50% in some of the cases.
So help us understand how it works, though. The magnets guide through computer.
The catheter has a magnetic sensor, and we have two big magnets in the room where each side of the patient, and the catheter tip sends the magnet. The motion of the catheter is directed by the magnetic field.
So it's like a GPS. In a way, I mean, it's kind of
we have a
guiding you.
GPS kind of a system we call mapping system that is incorporated into this technology. It will help us because if you know X-ray, it's a two-dimensional. But we, you know, human body, it would be nice if we can get a three-dimensional idea. So this GPS kind of system will help us to do that.
So basically, are you seeing, Amy, that people benefit greatly from this kind of experience? Are the patients seemingly happier with it?
I think that they will be. I think for a patient, having the peace of mind that knowing the risks of the procedure have been reduced by having this type of equipment available to them is definitely kind of eases that burden on them. That, along with the nurses and the physicians, the training that they have for these procedures, that can really put the patient at ease and really feel comfortable having their procedure if this is the best treatment for them.
How long does this procedure last generally, Amy?
The procedures can vary in length. Some of the procedures could be as short as maybe three and a half hours. Some of them can go a little bit longer than that. And again, that's with the nurses that are trained in the room. They provide, we term moderate sedation for the patients to really make them comfortable during the procedure.
Well, when you say moderate sedation, like what would you use?
It would be like a twilight sleep, different sedatives to just help them relax, a type of sleep where we can get the patient's attention if we need it. We can talk to them and wake them up. And then some parts of the procedure, we may have them in a little bit deeper sleep. There are some procedures that would go a length of time that we would use a general anesthesia also. Mm-hmm. And again, that would be a procedure that the physician would take a look at how long the length of the procedure is and what would be the best treatment for the patient while they undergo.
So I guess what I'm understanding is this new machine, this magnetic stereotaxis magnetic machine, is used both for diagnosis and for treatment, or mm-hmm. is it? Okay, so help us understand how that works.
It's both for diagnosis and treatment, and it can be also used in interventional cardiology. It's not only for arrhythmia treatment.
So tell me, how is it used there?
They can use it to help the physician. That is not my field.
Yes.
But my colleagues can use it to get to the vessel, which has blockage that conventionally wire and catheter technique is hard to get to.
So it was before, with catheterization, they would use basically, again, a rigid probe going up, and they mm-hmm. would get a reading as to where the blockages were. And you're saying with this machine, they can use this as mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. more flexible mm-hmm. catheter, to find out where the blockages
yes.
are. So it has incredible benefits.
Potential, yes.
Yes.
We're looking forward to having this system and work on it.
Yeah, I think it sounds amazing. Generally, Amy, is your experience then that, how new is it, by the way? How long has it been here?
It has been here. It was installed at the end of the year 2010, and the room itself has been used since February.
And results so far are promising?
We're looking forward. We just started to use it.
So you're feeling that you can already see some positive results?
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, Dr. Luna Bada, Assistant Professor of Medicine, Director of the Heart Rhythm Center and the Clinical Electrophysiology Lab at Upstate Medical University, and Amy Tetrault, Nurse Manager, thank you so very much for joining us today. I think we got a good understanding of the fact that we have some really cutting-edge help for people with life-threatening heart arrhythmias. Really appreciate your joining us. We have to take a short break. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYS.